the best music making is what comes from the heart. It's almost as if, as a director of an orchestra or choir, you turn it into chamber music so that everyone's listening to each other, they're all doing what they do, and you've got a hand on the tiller and not much more.
That's choir director Stephen Darlington, who, since 1985 as director of music at Christ Church Oxford, has had his hand on the tiller of one of the world's finest male vocal ensembles. The English choral tradition comes to the Carolinas as one of its leading proponents kicks off a North American tour. The Cathedral Choir of Christ Church Oxford performs this concert from the Queen City of the New South, Charlotte, North Carolina.
But even though we're in the southeastern United States, the music on this program will transport you, both in time and space, to the site of the oldest university in the English-speaking world and its rich legacy of choral music. The selections you'll hear range from British gems of the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries to showpieces from iconic figures in the repertory, including Herbert Howells and Hubert Parry. It's Eastertide with the Christ Church Cathedral Choir of Oxford, and it's next from Classical Public Radio.
Hello and welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm Frank Dominguez, your host for this special concert, along with my colleague Lauren Rico. We're celebrating Eastertide to mark the start of the North American tour of one of choral music's most fabled ensembles. In the magnificent Gothic atmosphere of this sanctuary, it's easy to imagine we're thousands of miles across the pond in the ancient city of dreaming spires, Oxford, even though this edifice was built as recently as 1953. And the illusion will be further enhanced when you hear the splendid voices of the young men and boys who will perform for you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome director Stephen Darlington and the Christ Church Cathedral Choir.
His young charges have taken the stage, and here comes Stephen Darlington.
Thank you.
Next, it's music by Orlando Gibbons, Oh, Clap Your Hands.
Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You have just heard great composers from the earlier period of the founding of Christchurch, where we all sing on a daily basis. We've been doing that for about 500 years. I know I look quite old, but I'm probably not quite that old, but anyway. You heard, first of all, a piece by John Taverner, who was the first director of music when the college was founded in 1526. And you've just heard that wonderful, glorious piece by Orlando Gibbons from the Jacobean period. So we're going to stay with the 17th century, a music by Purcell Yehova, one of two Latin texted pieces that Purcell wrote. He was probably the finest of all the English composers before the time of Elgar. And there's a very strong Italian influence in this music. In fact, it's rather like a miniature cantata.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's with great pleasure that I now introduce to you the home team, as I might describe it, the boys' choir at St. Peter's, who are going to join us. And whilst they're moving into position, let me just tell you a little bit about the pieces that we're going to sing. We're going to sing this chorale setting. The English translation is Lord, I Trust Thee, which is from Handel's Brockes Passion, which was written in 1716. And then we're going to end the first half with Zadok the priest. There's a certain amount of talk of royal weddings at the moment. The Zadok the priest was actually written by Handel for the coronation of George II and Queen Caroline in 1727. I'm afraid I cannot tell you if it's going to be sung at the forthcoming wedding, but it has been sung in a lot of recent royal weddings. And now we have the boys' choir from St. Peter's. I hope you'll listen out for the tremendous wall of sound that you'll hear when they first come in.
Oh,
One of four coronation anthems George Frederick Handel wrote using texts from the King James Bible, in this case Zadok the priest, telling the story of the anointing of Solomon. It's always a showstopper, and no less so in this performance by the Cathedral Choir of Christ Church, Oxford, led by Stephen Darlington. You also heard them perform Handel's Lord, I Trust Thee, and for both selections, the world-renowned English choir was joined by the youngsters of the Boys Choir of St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Lauren, I imagine it's a real thrill for the Charlotte boys to be singing on their own home turf with a choir of the reputation of the Christ Church Cathedral Choir. And from what I observed in rehearsals and in the bows just now, they are truly enjoying this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We have Stephen Darlington shaking hands with Ben Uten, who is the longtime conductor of the Boys Choir. We heard in this concert, the Boys Choir of St. Peter's, just one of the ensembles of the choir school at St. Peter's Episcopal in Charlotte, run for many years now by choir master and organist Ben Uten. It was founded in 1993 to provide music education and performance opportunities to talented boys and girls of varying backgrounds here in the Charlotte area.
It's intermission time during this concert of the Christ Church Cathedral Choir. Here's Frank Dominguez speaking with choir director Stephen Darlington.
There's a lot of admiration in this country for the so-called English choral tradition, and I wondered, as someone really steeped in it, what does that term mean to you? How would you describe it?
Well, obviously it's linked in very much with the liturgical tradition of the Church of England. And in many respects, the irony is that it's this tradition which has kept going, the Roman Catholic choral music, which was prevalent in the 16th century when Henry VIII came along and made the break from the Roman Church. But in practice, the English choral tradition has as its core these all-male choirs with boy choristers, who originally and well still are plugged into an educational system, which means that they have a lot of musical training alongside their schoolwork, and they sing in cathedrals every day of the week, the services.
Do you feel that there are benefits to being a chorister that these boys take with them into other walks of life? Is it necessarily a given, for example, that a boy chorister becomes a musician of some sort, or do many of them go on to other professions?
Many of them do go on to other professions, but I think most of them retain a love for music, which they've had instilled in them at a young age. I think the sort of qualities that they get out of this are very similar to the qualities you get out of being in a very good sports team, in that you learn to work as part of a team. If you drop the ball when you shouldn't drop the ball, then you've let the whole side down. There is that sort of sense, which I think is very valuable in life. They learn confidence at a young age, just to be able to stand up in front of a large group of people or on a live broadcast and feel confident about doing that. You know, as adults, we tend to get more nervous than children do because they don't tend to worry about it. They don't realize what they might have to lose by doing it. So they get that confidence. They also learn how to manage their time because of this strict regime of their school day. Leisure time is very precious.
What is it that you particularly love or enjoy about working with this combination of voices?
The quality of a lot of the music that we do is just wonderful, inspiring music. And the chance to take a Mass by William Byrd, to take that and develop a view of how it should be performed, and then to communicate that view through the medium of the choir to a large number of people, I think that's a very exciting and stimulating thing to do, and it's great fun.
Stephen Darlington, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Good to be here. Thank you.
By the way, you can hear more from Stephen Darlington, find links to information about the choir, see images from this concert, look at the concert program, and even listen to the concert again, all online at classicalpublicradio.org. Look for Eastertide with the Christ Church Cathedral Choir of Oxford while you're there.
Shortly before the concert, Lauren, you had a chance to chat with one of the choir's young members. Here's what he had to say about the singular life of a boy chorister.
You join the choir at the age of about eight, and you go through a probationary year in training, and then in year five, you join up as a full chorister.
Have you always wanted to sing?
I've always particularly enjoyed it. When I was very, very small, I enjoyed it. I never really thought about, taking a serious commitment, but then when I came here, I really enjoyed it and I wanted to carry on.
So tell me about that probationary year.
Well, when you start, it's quite difficult because, I mean, you're away from your parents for a long time. It takes some getting used to, but eventually it's fine because, you know, you get used to it. And you watch the rehearsals. You occasionally join in the mornings. Occasionally the conductor gets you to sing in the service. But then at the end of that, at the start of the next academic year, you join the choir fully. There's a special sort of a little ceremony at the beginning of a service.
And what happens during that ceremony?
You are taken up to the middle of the cathedral. The dean and the conductor say something, introduce you to the dean, and then the dean gives you your medals, which is the sign that you are now a full member of the choir.
And then how does it change for you after you're a full member of the choir? What's different then?
You go to every service, even at the weekends. Every other weekend you stay at school, you go to music school. There are a lot more services, a lot more concerts, and it's a lot more busy, a lot busier if you're a full chorister.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be a professional singer?
I don't know. I've been thinking of quite a lot of different things. I'd quite like to be a TV actor or a movie actor or something like that.
Who's your favourite actor?
Ooh, well, I don't know. Ben Stiller, probably.
Do you have a favourite actress?
Cameron Diaz, I have to say, probably.
Nick, thank you so much for taking the time
Pleasure.
To come.
Thank you.
That's chorister Nicholas Savage, age 13, speaking earlier with my co-host Lauren Rico about his life as a member of the Cathedral Choir of Christ Church, Oxford.
Welcome back for the conclusion of this Eastertide concert with the Christ Church Cathedral Choir of Oxford. I'm Lauren Rico. You're sampling a hand-picked program that director Stephen Darlington has described as a lightning survey of the best of the English choral tradition. In this half, the choir turns to music from the 19th and 20th centuries, including selections by giants such as Edward Elgar and William Walton, who was one of the choir's many distinguished directors over the centuries. And there's a big finish from Charles Hubert Perry that's guaranteed to shake the rafters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome once again Stephen Darlington and the Cathedral Choir of Christ Church, Oxford.
Thank you.
Elgar's Ave Verum.
And music by Hubert Howells, Te Deum from his Collegium Regale, performed by the Cathedral Choir of Christ Church, Oxford.
We enter the final phase of our program this evening. We're singing a work by William Walton, Set Me as a Seal. Walton was actually a boy chorister in the choir of Christ Church, where he got his big break. And he stayed on at the college, and although he failed his exams, it nevertheless set him on his way to a great career as a composer. And then finally, since there's been talk of royal weddings and coronations, etc., we are going to finish with Parry's I Was Glad. This is an iconic anthem from the early 20th century. It's hard to imagine a more noble and thrilling setting of the words of Psalm 122.
Thank you.
Music by one of the legendary figures of English choral music, Sir Charles Hubert Parry. I Was Glad, the fitting and stirring conclusion to this concert by one of the world's great choral groups, the Cathedral Choir of Christ Church, Oxford.
Before that, you heard them sing Set Me as a Seal, written by William Walton, the distinguished English composer, who was also noteworthy for having led the Christ Church Cathedral Choir in the 20th century.
Eastertide with the Christ Church Cathedral Choir of Oxford is a production of Classical Public Radio, a service of 89.9 WDAV Davidson and Davidson College in Davidson, North Carolina. Support for this broadcast comes from donors to WDAV's Listen Live Fund, including Cynthia Tyson and the Jane Cook Brin Music Education Fund. Our interim general manager, Kim Klein, provided invaluable administrative support, as did marketing director Lisa Gray.
Special thanks to the Cathedral Choir of Christ Church, Oxford, and their director, Stephen Darlington, as well as Chris Rocker, Deputy Director of Development. Thanks also to the Boys Choir of St. Peter's in Charlotte, including Ben Uten and Kay Johnson of the choir school there, and the staff and congregation at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Charlotte, including Stephen Talley, Music Ministry Director, and Senior Minister Robert W. Henderson.
The audio engineers for this broadcast are Bob Rydell of Acoustic Mobility and Josh Sacco of the Ground Crew. The broadcast engineer is Jim Shrope of Shrope Electronic Services.
The Classical Public Radio website is maintained by Rachel Stewart, who also provided production assistance for this concert, and Jeffrey Freiman Wire, who is also the broadcast director and program producer. The executive producer for Eastertide with the Christ Church Cathedral Choir of Oxford is Frank Dominguez. I'm Lauren Rico. On behalf of Frank and all of us at Classical Public Radio, thanks very much for listening, and have a very happy Easter.